विल डू वर्स नंबर 15। नादत्ते कस्य चित् पापम्।
नादत्ते कस्य चित् पापम्।
न चैव सुकृतं विभुः।
न चैव सुकृतं विभुः।
अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानम्। तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तवः। टुगेदर नादत्ते कस्यचित् पापम्। न चैव सुकृतं विभुः। अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानम्। तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तवः। सो भगवान अगेन सेज न आदत्ते। आई डू नॉट टेक कस्यचित् पापम्। आई डू नॉट टेक योर पाप। न चैव सुकृतम्। नॉर द गुड डीड्स पुण्यस्। विभु विभु हियर विभु मीन्स द ऑल परवेडिंग गॉड। ऑल परवेडिंग कॉन्शियसनेस। सो भगवान इज रेफर्ड सम प्लेसेज एज प्रभु एंड सम प्लेसेज एज विभु। They both mean the same. It is the all-pervading consciousness. So this all-pervading consciousness, Vibhu, which has manifested as Bhagavan Shri Krishna, he says this consciousness does not take your sins or your merits. You say, yeah, but didn't you say in the 16th chapter that I punish you and I throw you in the biggest hell? Why do we say that? Ajnanena avritam jnanam. My knowledge is covered by ignorance. Tena mohyanti jantavaha. Jantavaha means beings are deluded because of ignorance. So again, as I said, these three shlokas today are a little difficult because the Bhagavad Gita consists of 700 verses. And what people do will pick up two verses. You know, at one place he says, I throw you in hell. And second place he says, I don't take note of your papas. And then they will write a book, Contradictions in Bhagavad Gita by Sri Krishna. And so they will even publish the book. And people will even buy it. The point is that's why the Bhagavad Gita has to be studied by a master, from a guru, from a teacher. You yourself cannot. And again, you know, I have, of course, whatever I'm doing is trying to combine three or four commentaries. So this knowledge cannot be studied by oneself. Otherwise, we will find all these faults, find all these. So as we said, a systematic study of the Bhagavad Gita will only give us the right understanding of what is truly going on in the Gita. Because you have to say that they are all talking at different levels. So right understanding is very important. Talking about right understanding, this husband had gone away for a week for a business trip. And the wife was loved, you know, throw darts. You know, these darts, these sharp pointed. So she had a dart board and she was throwing darts. And in the middle, she had put her husband's picture in the bullseye. But she was not very good and she kept hitting and all over the dart board, sometime outside. And never could hit the bullseye. So it so happened as she was playing, the husband called her. He said, honey, what's going on? She says, you know, I think of you so much and I keep missing you. So husband was very happy. So you have to have the right understanding of what this person is saying. So what is Bhagavan telling us? The right understanding is required. Why? Because sin and merit, papa and punya, are committed by who? By this mind and intellect, this jiva. And so whatever I have committed, I have to pay it. This consciousness within says, I do not participate in that. And so point is that whatever good or bad is happening, I am doing it and I have to undergo the consequences. And why does he use the word vibhu? Vibhu means all pervading. Where everything is pervaded by the, even though everything is pervaded by that consciousness, yet this body, mind and intellect appears to be different from this consciousness, acts in the world and has to undergo the consequences. So that is what he's saying, that if you commit the action, it's like I commit a murder and then I say I didn't do it. Sooner or later, I will get caught and I have to bear the consequence. Even if I don't get caught, the law of karma, I will have to pay for the consequence. Even whatever, if I've even stolen 100 rupees or $100 or whatever, if I leave the mall without paying for an I dress because the lady forgot to charge, I had bought 10 outfits, I only paid for 9. I think I got away, but you don't. Anything that you get away, sooner or later, we have to pay back. So ignorance of the law is not an excuse. You cannot say, I had not studied the Bhagavad Gita, so I did not know, and that's why I did all the mistakes. Ignorance is not an excuse. Just as you're driving 55, but the limit is 35, and you say, officer, he stopped, I didn't see the signboard that said the speed limit changed from 55 to 35. He says, I don't care whether you saw this. Ignorance is not enough in the court of law. So similarly, ignorance of this knowledge does not excuse you. If you have done wrong deeds, you have to pay the consequences. But if you have the knowledge and still do it, that's even worse. Having studied the Bhagavad Gita, if I'm still not doing my duty, not doing the right thing, so how do we get out? So they say that you start at what level you are at. Say at this worldly level, I am still not an enlightened master. So he says, do karma and bhakti. Do karma yoga, right knowledge, right activity with devotion for God. So as you do the service of the world with devotion to God, slowly your mind becomes pure, your vasanas become less, and then you are ready for jnana, you are ready for knowledge. So the knowledge will purify your mind, and as your mind becomes purer, the knowledge will stay. That's what we say, you know, we have studied so much, but why don't I remember? Because we still have a lot of desire. So when the right time comes, the knowledge does not stop me from doing the wrong thing. So we say, oh, I knew it, but I shouldn't have done it. But with practice, doing service, devoting to the Lord, then the right knowledge comes. People say, that's why I don't believe in God, because God says I don't do anything. The world is functioning on its own. Yeah, that is true. I agree. There is not even a God. So if a person says, I don't believe in God and I don't do spiritual practices, his journey has not even started. He's still an infant. He's not even progressed. But another person says, I believe in God. I go to the temple. I pray every day. I offer flowers. I light a candle. God, good. Now is the time to study. See, study is required for everybody. Whether you believe in God, whether you don't believe in God, study is necessary, and with the right knowledge, you will understand that there are three levels. There is the transactional level, there is the dream, and there is the absolute level. Where at the absolute level, the world has no existence. The world is just an illusion, just as that David Copperfield or that Trishanku, that heaven that was created as an illusion. So similarly, this world is created as an appearance, and now that I am here, do whatever my duties are, my prarabdha is, but always remember that this is not my home. My home is somewhere else. Mera ghar kahin aur hai. That's where I have to go, and that is my goal, that is my purpose. So these verses tell us that function in the world, but don't be part of the world. Watch the world, enjoy the world, but do not let the world drown you where you forget what your purpose is. I hope I was able to convey these three verses. If not, next week again this idea will be reinforced. Any questions, if anybody wants to add? Is the idea clear that God says, but I am not the doer and I do not take anybody's sin or merit. I do not even take note of everybody's sin or merit. That's what the Lord says.
I think we, The way I look at it, because we were trained with generation that the God gives the result, that's why we have that impression that God is the giving result.
Right.
If you raise that thought, then you know that what you do, you get it. And that's your own karma that really gives you the result as we go on. Whether you think of life, last life, we don't know. But whatever happens now,
right,
there's something along the way that didn't go right or whatever, or went right. And that's how we get the prarabdha.
Yes.
But the idea is to not to create more karma. So we have to go through that. Right now, I mean, prarabdha, going through prarabdha is fine because there's no choice we have. But to think about, I want to do this and I don't want to do this, we create new karmas. And then we are creating more future
right
activity that we have to come back for. So, idea is to leave that that idea of, I want to do this, I don't want to do this, this is good, that's bad. Just do what is needed to be done at the time, collectively, not necessarily my work.
Yeah, good point. So whatever comes in front of you, you do it.
What needs to be done.
What needs to be done and what is good for the totality. Yes. And then when you are doing those activities without I and my, without likes and dislikes, then you are not creating new vastness. And that's the only way to enlighten is to get out of vastness and become one with the Om, the conscious. So the more I, as she says, the more I do activities with I and mine and selfishly, the more I'm creating more and more karmas, more and more vastness. And so that is the enlightened master does not have this idea of I or mine. That is the difference between us and the enlightened master. Yes?
I'm always a little bit confused when I read stories like about Ravana. And they always talk about how he had all this punya, doing rituals, doing all these things. And so then they get all these powers because they did all this, have all this punya. I don't quite understand how that...
Well, the thing was, this is a world of karma, right? This is a world of karmas. Whatever karmas you do, you get the results. So he had done so much austerity, so much penance, where he sat for so many years doing all these rituals and chanting and then staying in silence and meditating and putting all this effort. So he got, it is said God appeared to him and blessed him. You know, I think it was Indra or whoever blessed him, Brahmaji blessed him. Point is that in this world also, if you put in effort, you will get the result. Like if you every day jump, then you'll become a pole vaulter. If every day you hike and you carry lots of weight, you'll become a mountain climber. Every day you sit and do math, you'll become an Einstein. So every day he put in effort to get all these powers. And in our Puranas, there are specific mantras that are chanted to please these specific gods. And when they appear, you can get specific powers. So he wanted the powers of no human should kill me, no animal should kill me. You know, those are the things he asked for. And then his power was in his belly button. So the point is, when you put in enough effort, you get those powers. But then if you misuse those powers, that's where the problem arose. Because he became so arrogant, because he had done so much tapas, this tapas and austerity has a lot of power you can get. And you can use that power for self and enlightenment, self-knowledge, or the same knowledge you can use to tyrannize the world. Like Hiranyakashipu, there was another king who got his powers and then he said, I cannot, should not be killed inside my house, outside my house, day and night and all those. And then he started tyrannizing the world, and then God had to appear as Ram or appear as Narsimha, the lion, human, half lion God, to destroy these evil powers. So you can get powers, but then you can misuse them. Just as nuclear power, you can get, but then if you misuse it to destroy this world, or do you use it to cure cancer? So powers are there. Nuclear energy is so powerful, you know, just splitting an atom. So same way, there are a lot of energies you can get if you are able to, like there is energy, or there are energy workers, you know, who actually can channel the energy, you know, through their yoga, and then actually can help people mentally, physically, cure illnesses, things like that. In fact, in the olden days, they have pictures of these people who used to just put their hands at the pharaoh's feet. They were not allowed to touch the pharaoh, but with their hands on the feet, just a few inches away, they could heal the pharaoh. So energy is there. There is a lot of energy in the cosmos. It is how you can channel it. It's like a microscope. The sun is everywhere, but if I have a microscope, I can channel the sun's energy where it can burn the paper. So energy is everywhere. It is how, with effort, you can channel it, and you can heal people or you can destroy people. So that is how he misused the energy which he had got through tapas, through self-control. When you live self-control, you can get a lot of energy. See, they say, no, don't waste your energy in useless pursuits. Conserve it and use it for self-development. Or he used it to destroy the world. Thank you. Good question. Yeah.
So, this is a world of karma.
Yes.
And we spent the past couple of weeks talking about the fact that we do not have doership. And God doesn't have doership, or Vishwa doesn't have doership. We don't have doership because we are doing the karmas, where the karmas are. And that's where the That's who's doing it? I don't know.
Right. That's well, see when he says I, when he means I the consciousness.
Yeah.
I the consciousness does not do anything. I the body, mind and intellect do karmas. Mm-hmm. As karma, as long as you say I'm Barbara, I'm a female, I live in Bakersfield, then yes, I will be doing the karmas. But if you say I am living in this city of nine gates, which is called Barbara, but I am not that. So then the Barbara will continue to do the actions, but I don't. This individuality, Dehi, that is living in this city of nine gates is doing the actions, but I do not do them. So it depends from which level you are speaking. But the individual, Barbara, who is doing the actions will suffer the consequences of it, but the consciousness does not. So whether you are talking from the absolute level or the transactional level or the, you know, the projection, the dream level, mm-hmm. at this transactional level, whatever actions I have done, I will suffer the consequences. Just as in the dream, if I commit a murder, there will be a dream police who will take me to a dream judge and then will give me a dream prison and then a execution. In the dream, I have to suffer the consequences of what I have done in the dream. Similarly, in this world, I have to suffer the consequences. But a wise person knows that at this moment, yes, my body is doing all those actions, but I am not the body. I am not the doer, but I am the consciousness. So you, just as from a dream, you wake up to this world, from this world, you wake up to that. That is called enlightenment. Where while living in this world, these great Mahatmas, these great masters had no doership. They still worked. Swami Chinmayananda worked 22 hours a day. He hardly slept 3 hours at night. And maybe sometimes if he had time, maybe afternoon nap, sometimes not even 20, 22 hours a day he worked. But without the doership, he said, yes, the Lord is working through me, or the Prarabdha is going on. And his goal was to spread this knowledge so that whatever he has got from his guru, he wanted us all to have. That's why he started the missions all over the world. But without the idea that I am doing it, without the doership.
So the jiva, what is
the jiva? Is the mind, intellect, and vasanas packet. Okay. So this individuality, jiva means the individual.
The individual, body, mind, and intellect.
Yes. Actually, the mind and intellect is occupying this body. So the individuality is, the body is the same, but it's my mind and intellect and my vasana. So it is mostly the subtle body, the mind and intellect, which is called the jiva. You can include the body in that too. But the individual who is doing it. Yeah.
Belief in God, it's a pretty abstract concept if you yes. really look into it. With the faculties that I currently have in this world, I can associate somehow with, let's say, Swami Chinmananda or any other Mahatma based on what I'm doing even right now.
Right.
But to actually have the Shraddha, the faith in God, do I need to ask the Guruji or God? Do I need his aid or can I do it on my own to actually have that Shraddha? And if so, how?
Right. Well, having a personal God helps. Having a personal God will help you on the spiritual journey. But if you feel that there is no need to have a personal God, then with the right knowledge, you can still go beyond this world. But for an individual, it is not possible without divine intervention. Without divine, there is only so far I can go with my own effort and with the Guru's help. Ultimately, the surrender has to come. One time I had given an example of a spacecraft going to the moon. First, with the thrusters, it is pushed, and then it floats freely for a while. But then at the end, the moon pulls it because the spacecraft has no longer any more fuel left. So the moon is the one that pulls it. So similarly, I can only go so far with my effort, and then I have to say, Lord, I cannot do anything more, you do it. It doesn't have to be a personal God, it can be the total consciousness, you know, that. But the idea that I alone can reach is there comes a stage where you ultimately say, this is all I can do, and then you surrender. And you can surrender to the totality. You, as you said, if you can see God everywhere in every human being, then there is no need for a personal God. But generally, having a personal God and developing love, because with love, only your karma yoga service will only happen when you love. And so love only comes more strongly when there is a personal God. So I think that it helps to have, but it's not absolutely essential. But generally, we find that most masters had connection with a personal God. It becomes very difficult just to say, I can do it on my own. Unless you have so much surrender to the Guru, well, then they see Guru as God. Like in Radha Swami, they don't believe in any God. They believe the God is here in the form of my Guru, and they totally surrender. Again, it is the same thing. You know, you are seeing God in the Guru. And then they say there is a total consciousness, but the Guru will take us. So some form of surrender is required. Because we are very limited human beings.
I think surrender is the key word.
Yes.
And I speak a little differently. I think I have to kill the ego to be there. That's my surrender. It's, I am no longer existing. Then I'm one with it. That when I don't exist, I don't have any desires that I need to do this and that. So, it's just whatever he gets me to do.
Right.
So surrender is the most important word. I think the deities are important in a sense of not necessarily to be Buddha of that deity, but to follow the path that they follow. Just like Gandhiji used to say, I like Jesus, I like to follow Jesus, but Christians are not following Jesus, they're following Bible. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So Jesus did certain things, or Krishna did certain things, the way they lived. They become an example to us.
Right.
So that way, if you like, so like I like Krishna just as what he did and how he lived. So I may not do his puja, I may not, you know, light and everything, I don't even sing to him, But I know that I want to be like him or Gandhi or somebody like that. So that becomes an example to us as to how I should live in life.
Right.
How they live, so that I follow their footsteps.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's all right.
No, thank you. That's a very good point. But
God is a role model?
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
but I think more than that. More than that. God has infinite power and I have limited power. So just as when you connect to that electricity, you tap into the PG&E. And so similarly, connecting myself to that divinity. So God is not only a role model, but in my opinion, God is the infinite power. And I, by my surrendering, I connect to that infinite power, just as when I connect the plug, I connect to that total electricity, you know, which is millions and billions of kilowatts.
There's still a lot of people in the world, they won't pray the consciousness, they pray to, you know, the forms of God, like Jesus, a human form of God, Sri Ram was human form of God, Krishna was human form of God. Because there we can able to connect.
Right.
If they can live in this world with
yes.
something right or wrong, we can connect with them, see their
right.
good bodies. Well, consciousness is like, it's more than higher level, it's higher.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, so it's easier to connect, that's what a visible form of God. When it can be even Shiva or can be Ganpati or can be Mother Lakshmi or Saraswati or Mother Durga, any of these, it's the same consciousness that takes all these forms. That takes the form of Ganeshji and Vishnu Bhagavan and Sri Krishna and Sri Ram and Mother Saraswati. So that one consciousness has taken different forms, Jesus and so on, to make it easier for us to relate. To relate with that total consciousness is very difficult. But when I think, oh, okay, Shiva, then I can relate. You know, he's sitting in meditation, he's very kind, he's very compassionate. So it's easier for us. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kasche Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo, Harihi Om.